Lord is good. Amen. All the time. I like that. Well, let's see. Something else in the building, if you want to go over and look at it, the people who put the cement and did all the cement work did us a little favor and did something nice for us. I know they made a lot of money on the project, but they stamped and stained that section that's going to be underneath the under the drive-thru and under the portico chaise. So it's really nice. It really looks, and it'll have a finish on it. It'll look really nice. So just don't go over and drive on it, okay? They haven't put the... I won't tell you who's done that. But don't go drive on it. Let's wait till they get the... what do you call that? They put the sealer on it. They haven't done that yet. So anyway, it looks really pretty. Last Wednesday night, about this time, me and my family, 25 minutes ago, drove to a church to go on Wednesday night during our vacation. And I went to a very, very well-known independent Baptist church that I would say to you is one of the premier independent Baptist churches in the country. And they're in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And to our surprise, didn't sing one hymn on Wednesday night. And everything up on the screen, not one tie on the platform, not one coat. In fact, the guy who wore the coat, because the preacher was out of town, he was on vacation like me. And the young man that was going to preach, the other associate pastor made fun of him, so he took his jacket off. He didn't have a tie on anyway, but took his jacket off. And then got up and sang their little choruses and then had a praise and worship team come up, basically is what they were, and sang a song together with the lady out front, doing her little thing. And I was so surprised. And so can I just tell you, I love our church. I asked Brother Wiggins tonight, I said, would you sing that song I just started living tonight? Because I want to hear that. Based upon what I heard last Wednesday night, man, and the song they sang for their little thing, I know of it. And just another 7-Eleven song, just 7 words 11 times over. How many times can these guys sing the same words over and over and over again? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't get contemporary music. I know some of you have listened to it. I don't get it. I stay a mile away from it. And gets my blood boiling. This is a great church. It was. And let us hold steadfast, unmovable. Let us not give in to today's culture. And our church is not seeker sensitive. We're not trying to appeal to the crowd. We're trying to appeal to Jesus. Not all contemporary music is wrong. Let me clarify tonight. There are some good songs. And we see some sung up here by some of our folks, and I appreciate it, and I love them. One of my favorite songs is that rendition of Amazing Grace that Brother Randy sings. I know that's a new song. I love it. God hasn't stopped inspiring music. It's just a lot less. I want to hear some amens. It is. About 80% of all contemporary music should be gone somewhere else. About Southern Gospel, the same way, by the way. About 80% of it's trash. So I just feel better about the whole thing. You know what the title of my sermon tonight is? Is Defending Truth. Defending Truth. And we need to be defenders of truth. And some of the areas I touch on are my preferences. I understand that. But, boy, we got to hold the line. And me and Brother Wiggins, me and Brother Stone almost did it when he was here, preached on music. But me and Brother Wiggins are going to tackle it here at some point. And so y'all pray for us. It's just one of those hot-button issues. And so we want to certainly hold the line. Our job is not to entertain. Our job is to lift up Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, what's going on in most of the churches is not lifting up Jesus. Amen. It's sad. I'm saddened by it. I just am. What a wonderful church that has taken a step backwards. And I hope that's not the case. I hope it doesn't continue. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. And on that top of that, I talked to Brother Henderson today, and he said the very first independent Baptist church they went to in Mount Pleasant made him sick to his stomach. He had to leave. It's a shame. It's a shame that you can't walk into an independent Baptist church and get the same gospel, same traditional music, same uplifting music. Yeah, I don't know. Some of you I've made mad tonight, so I'm going to go on. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's go ahead and just read one verse here. Look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. And Lord, help us with our thoughts. Help us to get our minds focused here tonight on your word and what's important. Let us lay other things aside tonight and just gather around the word of God and feed upon the bread of life. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us and give us courage tonight to stand for truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 2, we have Paul fighting for Christian liberty. First with the Jerusalem Council. This parallel passage, you can read it in Acts 15, where he was there in Jerusalem defending his stance with his preaching to the Gentiles. And then also with Peter at Antioch when he had to rebuke Peter. And so you're going to see this here in the chapter. There are many people involved in this chapter. In fact, Paul mentions several. He mentions as Barnabas, a close friend that was sent out together with him. He mentions Titus, the Gentile convert of Paul, and kind of a test subject, I guess you would say. And then you had Peter, who was an apostle, who was the pillar of the church at Jerusalem. And John, the apostle, and James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote the book of James. And then you have the Judaizers, those false teachers, and those who were teaching law and grace and so forth, an admixture to the gospel. And so Paul here is addressing all these, and as it comes together in verse 1, look there with me in verse 1, it says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of the reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." So he went to Jerusalem to settle a dispute at Antioch over the Gentile conversions. And we know that Paul was sent out to be a missionary to the Gentiles. God used Paul in a mighty way. By the way, if God hadn't sent Paul out, we wouldn't be here today. We are in a sense his converts. He was sent out by God. He makes that very clear. A revelation from God that God gave him to go and to preach to the Gentiles. This purpose was not given to him by the church. It was given to him by God. And so he makes that very, very clear. He was not sent out, it was not denominationalism. It was not something that was made people to do. In other words, the Jerusalem Council was not saying, we're over Paul and we're over this. Paul made it clear that I was sent out by God, not sent out by the church of Jerusalem. But he had the respect enough of the Jerusalem church and of Peter to go back there and make his case. So Paul's not here for denominationalism. He's not for bishops and a hierarchy in churches. That's not his point here. Everybody see what I'm talking about? He went back out of respect to them and out of proving a point to them that salvation is by grace through faith. It's not by the law. These Gentiles don't have to keep the dietary laws. These Gentiles don't have to keep the law of circumcision and all these different ceremonial laws. God didn't place us when we get saved. God doesn't place us again in bondage under the law. And so he goes back to Jerusalem Council and says, hey, we are justified by faith. Verse 16 again. No man is justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The works of the law, they don't save you. They don't get you closer to heaven. We are justified. And let me again, we have new converts here tonight. It's good to see such a great crowd here tonight. And as I think about some of you who have been saved for just a short time, that word justified means just as if I had never sinned. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, when I accepted Christ as my Savior at 6 years old, my sins were forgiven. But they weren't just, my past sins weren't just forgiven, but my present sins and my future sins were forgiven. That's amazing, isn't it? That God would forgive us, isn't it? Good Texas word, everybody got that one? All of our sins are forgiven. That the Bible says they're thrown as far as the east is from the west. And Man, God remembers them no more. Aren't you glad that God can forget sin? We can't. We can't forgive that way. But God does. He forgives and He forgets. And God is such a great God. But so we are not justified. We are not saved from the wrath of God by works, which we do. We're not saved from hell, which is God's wrath upon sin, by works that we do. And I remind you again tonight, Christians, that you doing things, or you doing things for the Lord, you teaching in class, or you being involved in whatever area in the church that you are, and reading your Bible every day, and praying, and tithing, and giving, and witnessing, and whatever the case is, does not make God love you more. God loves you as much today as He's ever loved you. He'll love you as much tomorrow as He's ever loved you, because God's love is unconditional. As a Christian, as a saved, born-again believer, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not based upon our works. It's based upon what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And we are saved eternally by faith, and by grace through faith, not by our works. And God loves us unconditionally. And I was raised in a church that was somewhat performance-based. And certainly we ought to work and we ought to do. But our works do not, as a Christian, do not make God love us more. He loves us as much today. You know, I told you this before, but some people think if I miss my Bible reading one day, God's going to strike me down dead. That's not true. And if I miss my Bible reading and I don't pray that day, that God hates me or God is upset with me, whatever. God loves you. God loves you. And now you ought to do those things. But God loves you. I'm glad for that, aren't you? We as humans have a hard time with that. But God, supernatural, our miraculous big God loves us. Even though we are what we are. Amen. What a blessing. So Paul is just saying to the Jerusalem council, listen, we're saved by grace. Don't put us back under that ceremonial law. They were questioning, why are you going to the Gentiles? Why are you teaching? Why are you preaching to the heathen? And he simply said, because God sent me. God sent me. Goes on as he sat there and he taught and he again, the council had no authority over Paul, but simply having that debate and having the public debate. I mean, basically there at the church of Jerusalem, debating over what is going to happen and what he was doing. Look there with me in verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us again into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So, Paul says here, listen, Titus chose not to be circumcised. Is he saved or unsaved? He's saved. But he's just challenging them. Is Titus saved or is he lost? And again, kind of a test subject, a test case. Jews and Gentiles. That is Christ who broke the ritual barrier. It is Christ in his death on the cross. It's Christ in his burial. Christ in his resurrection that did away with that ceremonial law. And in some instances did away with some of the civil law. Amen. I'm no longer subject under that law. And Paul stood firm on it, didn't he? I love that. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. I'm not giving in to those false teachers who come in privately and try to stir up trouble. He said, I didn't give them one inch and stood up to them. Shouldn't we? I think sometimes we as Christians, because we are told to turn the other cheek, and we are, and we're to be loving and kind, and a lot of times it does no good to argue, but certainly we shouldn't give in to false teachers. And certainly, like today, I saw, you know, Mormons in the Golden Corral, a bunch of them, in their white shirts. And automatically my mind switches to false teaching and false truth. And again, those people are not, you know, they're people, and God loves them. But they're teaching falsehood. They're teaching heresy. And so we must stand up for truth. And Paul simply stood firm. He did not give in. Paul's concern was the truth of the gospel. I like this one. And not the peace of the church. Paul was concerned about the truth of the gospel and not the peace of the church. We hear that today a lot. Peace at any price. Why can't we all come together? Why can't we all just get along? Why can't, you know, and a lot of times there's a big push for the, you know, community church services. Why would Heritage Baptist Church not commit to a community-wide church service? The reason why we would not commit to that is because there are other churches in our community who do not preach the gospel. There are some churches in our community who teach works for salvation. There's churches in our community who are bowing to the day and age in which we live and heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we see a lot of compromise. I'm not going to stand up on the platform with somebody who preaches heresy and teaches heresy in their church. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Certainly we are not going to compromise in that fashion. Now, I certainly would be for with any organization helping out in the area of helping paint a house, or if it's something that we can do physically speaking to help our community and another church wants to come and help us, or we want to, I have no problem. But if it has to do with getting up and praying and getting up and preaching or getting up and teaching or having a sunrise service in our community together with churches, Heritage Baptist Church will not have any part of it. Because it'd be wrong. We're not to give in and to placate and to condone false teaching. And Paul stood up for what was right. That's why I have chosen never to be a part of any ministerial alliance and never will. I don't go to these ministerial breakfasts in Dallas and Fort Worth and hobnob with anybody who is not of like faith. I hang around preachers who believe like me. I don't even hang around preachers who are liberal, because I know what happens. I've seen it happen to other preachers. You become who you hang around. I hang around with people that are more conservative than me. In fact, we've had preachers preach in this pulpit, even one of them Sunday morning, who's more conservative than we are. I'd much rather hang around with somebody to the right than somebody to the left, doctrinally speaking. Can I encourage you in that fashion as well? In your own life, be careful who you hang around, adults. You say, well, I don't hang around that crowd that preaches false doctrine. Yeah, but you read their books. You go to the Baptist bookstore, what used to be the Baptist bookstore, and you'll read some Protestant book, and you'll think, oh, this is good stuff. Might do you good to go back and read the label of who published it. Find if Willow Creek published it, or if Joel Osteen's published it. You know what I'm saying? Be careful what you read, who you hang out with, because who you read, who you hang around with, is who you become. Paul stood for truth. He didn't give an inch. Didn't give in an inch. And again, I don't think it's our job to go to every door and knock on every door and argue with somebody at every door. But when it comes to us, when it comes our way, when somebody asks us a question, we ought to stand for truth every time. Stand for the truth. Stand for what's right. Stand for the Bible. Stand for the Bible. In verse 6, the Bible says, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in confidence added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, again, he was preaching the gospel unto the Gentiles who were uncircumcised, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, but he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. So with Peter's yearning and Peter's command and purpose to preach to the Jew, Paul said, I had the same yearning and the same commission from God to the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go into the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Us to the Gentiles and them to the Jews, right? Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So as we think about that, Paul confirmation and approval of the message by God, but also of John and others who approved the message, approved his commission of God. And he was just reminding them of this to that Jerusalem council and to this church here in Galatia. Peter's Jewish ministry, Paul's Gentile ministry. Can I remind you that I enjoyed Sunday very much. I enjoy Focus on Mission Sunday. We're going to have one extra one next year. I think it's important that we put as much focus as we can upon missions and remember that that's the heartbeat of the church. And I was telling Brother Hardy that our church is growing and things are going well and the finances are doing good, but since our mission hasn't kept up with our mission money, mission giving hasn't kept up in relation to our general increases. And I'm burdened by that. I think we as a church need to remember that missions is the lifeblood of the church. God blesses a missionary-minded church. And yes, we are. We're getting it done. We're doing the commission. But we ought to do it in proportion to how many we have. And as we grow, it ought to be in proportion to what we're doing, to how we're growing. Amen? And we want to remember that. Missionaries, and what I was getting, the point I was getting to was, missionaries are much pastors as I'm a pastor. When Brother Bradley stood up here Sunday night and was having a hard time, you know, between English and Spanish and maybe fumbling around a little bit, can I tell you, all I could think about with Brother Bradley was, imagine those 40 people he's preaching to on Sunday. Imagine if you were in their crowd. He's just as much preacher as I am. And I like that, him pointing out people. You know, I like, because you know what? He was used to doing that in his congregation. I have no doubt he was pointing at that Hispanic person and that Hispanic person and say, what are you doing? What are you, you know? Amen? I thought it was good down to earth stuff. He is just as much a preacher, and Paul was just as much a pastor, just as much a preacher as Peter was. And that's the point he's making. I was given the commission by God, so were you, and let's get the job done. And so forth. And this will be my end here. Look at this next verse, next three verses. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I love this, I withstood him to his face. I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with this dissimulation. Boy, I tell you what, just a reminder, we all impact others, don't we? And Peter made a bad choice, and he said they were all sitting down there at Antioch, and they were eating with the Gentiles, and again, eating whatever the Gentiles were eating, no doubt food that was not according to Jewish law. But when some came up from Jerusalem, Peter left the crowd. Peter left the crowd. And Peter influenced others, even to the point of influencing Barnabas to leave the crowd, to leave the Gentiles, eating with the Gentiles. Just imagine that for a second. What type of hypocrisy? It's one thing, listen to this, it's one thing to defend a doctrine in a church meeting. Remember in Jerusalem, he just had the Jerusalem council. And they all wholeheartedly said, yeah, you're right. You're right, Paul. Let's go get them. Let's go get them, you know. But when the rubber met the road, it's quite another, something else to practice it in the everyday life. Peter didn't practice it in everyday life. He could practice it when he's around fellowshipping with the other Jews. And, woohoo, go get them, Paul. But when it came to life, he didn't stand up for truth. He placated. He gave in. We're around it every day. Probably y'all more so than myself. Every day you're around junk. Every day you're listening to something. Every day you have impacting by others around you. Well, stand up for truth. As we think about Christmas and vacations and Easter, when you were around family, somebody asked you a question, you ought to have an answer biblically for them. And when they disagree, I'll think it's our job to argue and to really get into it, but it's not our job just to simply placate and say, oh, you're right. No, you stand up for truth. And it's one thing to stand up for truth in here and say amen. It's another thing to sit out there and live it. I want to just remind all of us that our education has far exceeded our application. A lot of us know a lot more Bible than we apply. I said that here a couple of years ago. I need to say it more. And teachers, as you teach Sunday school, your Sunday school class, I think about Brother Clark and Brother Cox and Brother Doyce and for the feast, or those teaching adults, Miss Edie. Let us be reminded when we're teaching to apply what we're teaching. Let us make sure that as we teach, you know, not every, maybe there'll be some Sundays you just simply teach doctrine and that's it, but that shouldn't be the majority of time. Majority of time you should take whatever we're teaching, apply it to them today. And as people walk out the back door, they should have something that they can apply to their life that day. Something that they are, you know, encouraged to do. Is that a good way of saying it? Throughout the week. We need to practice what we preach. We can all get around here in the auditorium and hoorah each other, right? But when we get out there and the opposing team is across from us, sometimes it's you've got to apply what the coach said. Now, my problem was I had a lack of focus. And when I got to end of the game and coach put me in, boy, I was so glad that he just repeated it over. And I guarantee you, some of those plays we went over because we had two-a-days. I guarantee you, we went over those plays. Some of those plays, and Kai would know but this, you know, some of those plays had been gone over 100 times before we ever got in the game. I think that was remarkable because most of the time you got in the game, you didn't have to think about it. You've gone over the play so much. But even at that, sometimes I was on the kickoff team and I was in a small school, so you never came out of the game. You played offense, defense, kickoff return, punt. If there was a play, 2-point conversion, you never came off the field. My junior and senior year, I never came off the field. And so sometimes on the kickoff or on the punt, you know, I'd forget what I was doing. But on those main plays, plays as a fullback in the backfield, I didn't even have to think about them. I knew them by heart. About 40 or 50 plays, you just knew what to do every time. And that's why sometimes we teach the same truths over and over and over again. Those central truths of the Bible, like justification tonight, those need to be taught over and over and over and over again. And they ought to just become, we talk about muscle memory in sports, it ought to just become memory and just a fact of what you believe. You should be able to expound to somebody and tell somebody what you believe and why. And those central truths. Amen? And then apply them. And as Paul, stand up for truth. Don't give in. Don't give in. Peter feared and was impulsive. By the way, Peter was always impulsive. Peter, again, is a good example of most Christians. When they're hot, they're hot. When they're not, they're not. I don't want to be that way as a Christian. I don't. I want to be right there with the Lord every time. It's amazing to me as a pastor over the years how I watch people. And it is absolutely a reality that most Christians, not all, but most Christians, are either hot or cold. There's some Christians lukewarm. It just seems like when things get turned off, they get turned off, you know? Don't let the switch get turned off. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give up. Just keep at it. In this old world, we live in a sin-cursed world. And we live in a world today that is on its road to the Lord coming back. We know that, don't we? And we know that it's fierce out there today. Stand up for truth every time. I thought about that tonight as I thought about last Wednesday night when I entered that church building and thought, oh man, my family's gonna get a blessing tonight. I've heard about this church for years, and I'm excited about it. And then I was so disappointed. I told my wife as I sat there during the music, had that not been a church that I respected, I would have walked out of services. Man, let's don't give up. Amen. Let's keep on keeping on. Christians, stand up for truth. Stand up for right. Stand up for truth. Let's all stand.